Hey, Gary, what are we playing today?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. As you know, I am a big fan of pseudoscience and the occult.
Oh, me too.
And yeah. I mean, if there's one thing I like, it's astrology, astronomy, you know, incense.
You know, I don't believe in astronomy because it's a science.
Yeah. I don't neither. I mean, I like it, but I like it as far as, you know, I like looking at the pretty pictures of star connect the dots.
Yeah.
But I went out to the local, there's a place called Good Times and like a big chubby font. And I bought this here tarot deck.
Ooh, yeah.
And I thought maybe as, you know, one of my good friends and podcasting partners, you'd let me practice on you.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. My future is uncertain. And, you know, I would like to believe that there is some kind of, you know, order in this chaotic world. So hit me up.
If the mother has any providence there is, go ahead and cut the deck.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, let me draw the first card here. Okay, this is the upside down seven of guitars.
Yeah, and, no, I like a diminished seventh. That's a fun chord. Okay.
This means frustration. This symbolizes repetition. It symbolizes discord, both with loved ones and in terms of like state-sponsored lotteries.
Okay.
Go ahead and draw another card.
Okay, here we go. Card number two.
Okay. So this is the six of floating trumpets, and it's right side up, which is a good thing. And this symbolizes you know, awkward animations. And symbolizes licensed properties.
Yeah.
So like you might get the rights to, you know, maybe Capital Critters or a Family Dog
Mac
or something
me.
Like that. Yeah, Mac and Me. You might get to come into some rights.
Oh, cool. Awesome. And Floating Trumpets, it reminds me of some kind of Beck video.
Yeah. You might get the rights to Beck.
He so left Scientology, you know.
Yeah, fine. Like, why are we happy that happened now and not mad that it didn't happen before? So go ahead and draw the final card.
Okay. There are traditionally five cards in a tarot draw, but okay, let's go.
That's not what Moon said down at the place.
Okay. The place, that's what it's called. Okay, final card. Here we go.
Okay. It's a big upside down death because you're going to wish you're fucking dead because we're playing Wayne's World for NES. A good rhythm going on there. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the bonus Watch Out for Fireball show where you make us play terrible games.
Why are you doing this to us? And this week we are playing Wayne's World for the NES. Party on, Gary.
It's partly on excrement. Wayne's World.
Excrement is partly on it. Yes. Mostly on it. It's mostly excrement.
Yeah, mostly agreement.
Yes.
It is primarily, this is a an NES game designed by Radical Entertainment.
Made by THQ.
THQ, which makes like games that work, right? Like that's not a terrible
made.
Company.
Made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
RIP. We'll see him at the crossroads. Because they don't belong there.
Yeah. This is the NES version. There was an SNES version, and I believe Genesis as well. 16-bit. Let's just say 16-bit in general of the popular SNL-derived movie Wayne's World. Gary, I have to say, like, you know, Wayne's World is probably one of my favorite movies ever. Like, you know, not like my favorite film. It's not Chinatown. I recognize that Wayne's World is not Chinatown. But if I tally up the enjoyment that I've derived from Wayne's World 1 and some of Wayne's World 2, like, it's up there with things that I really fucking love.
Because we just did Jurassic Park, And like these are came around at the same time. And more than I agree
that.
With you, man.
More than that for me, honestly. Hmm. Like I, you know, there was something about SNL films in the mid '90s that just like did it for me. Like also Ladies up there Man. With Wayne's World. No, not it's Ladies Pat. Man. That was a little bit too late. But no, Tommy Boy.
Oh yeah,
fucking love Tommy Boy. Like you wouldn't expect it would get better with age, but like all Rob Lowe vehicles where he's the villain, it gets better and better like every time you watch
Recreation
it.
Or the I love Wayne's World as well. If I mean, let's not undervalue how much I love Wayne's World.
Let's not front.
I mean, dismiss it. I love it, and I was also this is the time when I watched Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Was the mid to early 90s.
Yeah.
I thought this was like the funniest thing in the world. I remember being in the theater and seeing the first trailer for this where it was like the big like Wayne's World logo.
Right.
And then the song and just like freaking the fuck out. Yeah. Yeah. I would, went goddamn nuts.
Yeah.
And I also love Wayne's World and parts of Wayne's World too. That's a good way to put it.
So. Christopher Walken, you know?
Yeah, selected jokes.
Yeah, selected jokes. What was it? The Clint Eastwood bit, where they brought him in as the better actor.
Yeah, yes. Totally fine. At the time, I was pretty tickled by the kung fu dubbing thing.
Yeah,
it worked on me at the time.
Mm-hmm. The graduate bit.
No, that didn't work on me. Like, how misguided was that?
It was pretty misguided.
Like, what kind of precocious like little kid were you that you were just like, this is a reference to The Graduate, a film that came out like 12 years before I was born.
Gary, you know me.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, it was for a target audience that was very small.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, no, like none of that should surprise you. Like if I'm talking about like walking to school listening to Glenn Miller on my fucking Walkman.
On your pocket Victrola. That was just like the step in that movie that revealed that these were like 35-year-old guys that were supposed to be playing like 22-year-old guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, put in a Graduate parody.
Like, I was about ready to say that, like, Wayne's World was the best thing that, that Mike Myers ever did. Like, arguably it is. I really, really like the first Austin Powers, like, a lot. It's the best thing Dana Carvey ever did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't done very much.
No, he did Master of Disguise, which is fucking atrocious.
Yeah, and then, what is it, a bunch of sketches.
Yeah.
And the Dana Carvey Show, which had, like, a weird amount of, like, really big talent on it.
Yeah.
Like really actually great people and got really strange.
It was like the Ben Stiller Show where, like, all of alt comedy came from it.
Yeah. Yeah. The big pile of fetid shit that grew, an amazing flower. Mm-hmm. I like the first Austin Powers when it came out. I haven't watched it recently. I also haven't watched Wayne's World recently, and I'm kind of scared to. Like, I wonder how much I would like it. Like, there are jokes in it that inform me, though.
Yeah.
The same way that there are Simpsons jokes that inform me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there are certain things, about, let alone enough to necessitate a rack. Like, that whole, like, that delivery and that whole, like, reaction to that was very formative to my comedy mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole product placement bit.
Yeah. And that's great. Like, that's still probably pretty funny.
Yeah.
The whole bit with him destroying a robotic hand, like, that's kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah.
You know, like, in its absurd kind of, kind of flavor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit forward-looking in exactly the way that this is not.
Exactly. I've seen Wayne's World in the past 6 months, and it does hold up.
That's awesome. I should watch that again.
Tia fucking Carrere.
Yeah, that's not really a Gary thing.
Talk about a formative experience.
Yeah. But okay. If only you could see her making out with Laura Dern on top of a Triceratops that's playing a guitar. Make that shirt. Crucial talk. A sword.
Yeah, or, ballroom blitz as the fucking house burns down.
Yeah. Again, formative, the multiple endings things. Like, there were some things that were kind of like, pretty big.
Yeah.
Ahead of their time. Is this the worst game we've done for the show?
It's okay. So it's the game that I've gotten the least far in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you can make the argument that this is the worst game we've done for the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say so.
Yeah. There's the least to recommend it and the most frustration.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is as is usual for licensed fare on the NES, it is a side scroller, a very
standard side scroller.
A standard action game side scroller.
Yeah.
You play as Garth and Wayne. Garth has a laser gun, much like, you know, he had that taser at the concert, except this is ranged.
Real quick, when we're talking about the formative experience, me and my buddy Austin, when this came out, would act out that scene on the way home from school, like, every day for, like, a year. Like, so we're made for a year.
Excuse me, I'd like to get through now.
Everything about that delighted our child brains in a way that, like, I cannot explain. Like, not a year, that's certainly exaggerating, but there was multiple times where we would just act that out on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just while walking, just reciting the lines. Like,
yeah.
Kids are fucking weird.
Oh, when he passes it back and forth between his hands.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, yeah, like, it's hot. Like, it's a hot pistol.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Garth is superior to Wayne as a concept.
Yes.
Like, Garth
yes.
is really weird. And the second one, it's all about the Linux book and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know, he's definitely the more interesting of the two.
I like to play.
Yeah, I'm a Garthman.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. Garth with Claudia Schiffer.
Yeah.
What's her name? Like even in 2, like when she was the femme fatale and he was like wrapped up in like murder my husband kind of thing. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What a weird fucking subplot.
With this bubble pipe.
I haven't thought about that in a long time, that there's a subplot in Wayne's World 2 about murdering her husband.
Sure, it's funny. This Garth wanders into double fucking indemnity.
Yeah. Maybe that movie's real good, too. Maybe that's, like, part of it. I gotta watch these shits again. I wish there were more time in the day. Like if you added, you know, I don't, like, 3 hours and 20 minutes to every day, like, I would probably spend the first week of which that was true just watching a couple, like, dumb movies like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wonder if this holds up.
I intended to watch the first one before we recorded, but I fell asleep tonight.
Yeah,
I have it. The DVD is sitting on my coffee table.
Yeah. You watch this. Bill and Ted as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back to all these. And Bill and Ted does kind of stand up. I've seen that more recently.
Yeah, yeah. I think that I like the second Bill and Ted more than the first.
That's a popular or unpopular opinion that I have as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George like
the,
Carlin,
like
man.
All the stuff with like the going to hell and the different rooms. I mean, the first one's really cool and imaginative too, but like all the individual punishments and then going to heaven and station and shit. It's just so bonkers. Like,
Man, what happened to Alex Winters? Like, he's not like done anything since that.
He has done everything. He's like an indie filmmaker.
Oh, really?
Like, he does like art movies. And then he also like really wants to get this Bill and Ted 3 made.
Oh.
And that's been in development hell for a while. But like when I first read that, I was like, oh, it's a sad attempt to like just get back in the limelight. But he's had kind of a little micro career.
Can you do Bill and Ted 3 without Rufus?
I wouldn't like it as much.
They'll
just get Carlos Mencia.
Ugh. why did you make me immediately hate this thing?
To be El Rufo.
Yeah, El Rufo.
That was racist of me. I'm sorry.
It's staying in. No marker. Yeah. So.
Damn it.
Damn.
Hitler had some good ideas. Cut that out. No, damn.
No. Oh, God. Do you remember that scene in Wayne's World where they fought these gigantic saxophones?
Yeah. I was gonna just about to call you out on how long you could avoid talking about this stupid fucking game.
Isn't that like anytime we talk about a license thing, I love talking about license things because we end up talking about the thing more than the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to do. And because the games all end up being the goddamn same.
Yeah.
So there's not that much like this is, you know, there's undoubtedly like this undoubtedly started development as some like non-branded shitty platformer.
Right.
And then they just slapped a bunch of Wayne's World assets on it.
Mm-hmm. And, like not just slap. There's like a lot of effort that went into some of like the Wayne's World touches. And by Wayne's World touches, I mean digitized voice and photos.
No, the digitized voice is as fine as it gets on the Nintendo.
Yeah, no way.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the cutscenes, which are real proportional, like they're just kind of black heads with like some non-proportional outlines under them. It's really weird. They're not black heads, like just black bodies.
They look like what is it here? They look like Metal Gear Solid Codex scenes between Wayne and Garth.
Which is a great idea. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, so there's a lot of stuff like that, and some of it is like written fresh content, but it's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the between the first and second level, there's like a top 10 things. Garth's dad, which I love, like owns a convenience store. Like Garth mythology, I'm pretty into. owns a convenience store, and the top 10 things he said, but there's no jokes in it or anything.
No, no. Like it's just kind of like, hey kids, put down those magazines. Yeah. And also, put down those magazines. This isn't a library.
You gave him a voice.
Yeah.
What are you? That's not what it's like. It's Wayne reading a list, and you're getting so in depth.
This is what I imagine Garth's dad sounds like. He's grizzled. He's owned that store for a long time. Maybe he's a little bit underwater. Maybe he's got a bit of a gambling problem. Maybe some drinking problems.
And his wife is hot. That's what we know from Wayne and Garth mythology.
Though. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that makes Garth upset when Wayne talks about how hot his mom is.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But eventually the list just becomes like, Wayne is awesome. All the ladies love Wayne. And then also, what's his name? Like, Bo Algar is a dweeb or something. It's
That happens. I said between the first and second level, but what I meant was between the level thumbs up and level a thumbs up on top of another thumbs up. Like they're signifying like vertical thumbs up instead of numbers.
Gary, it's thumbs ups all. It's thumbs up all the way down.
Yeah, it's like the Mayan thumbs up numerical system that we didn't, never uncovered. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Garth, you go to the right in a music store. There's no reason why you're in a music store in the beginning.
They make a comment about how small you are. Like it's like I'm in a video game.
Yeah, yeah, which is kind of maybe they're trying to nod to that fun self-referential nature of the movies, but it's stupid. It doesn't work. And, Garth has his laser gun, and there's all these platforms above you that are purely, like, platforms for sport.
Right.
Like, there's no reason to ever go get off of the ground, and if you do, you're much more likely to get hurt, partly because, like, your fall damage distance is so little that you probably take fall damage from, like, walking downstairs.
Right.
And then the other thing is that, like, there's nothing up there, you know?
So fall distance damage, this just reminds me of a preposterous thing from another game, because my experience with this is so slight. So EverQuest, the most preposterous death I ever suffered was I just converted all my platinum into copper for some reason, you know, the currency. But currency had weight, and I was walking away from the bank. I stepped down a step. You know, leaving the bank, and I died from fall damage because
that's
fall damage is
because you're too weighed down.
Yeah, fall damage
is tied to carry weight.
Is tied to carry weight.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's but with this, you take like two damage from jumping from a platform.
Yeah, yeah, you can't. Yeah. There's no safe way to get down from anything. Like I take less fall damage than these guys, like in real life, and they're video game characters. So just like going forward, tapping on the shoot button is your best bet. Yeah. You have a robust amount of health, kind of surprisingly.
But it's shared between the two, between the two protagonists.
Yeah, which is real weird because the first level is considered both segments.
Right.
It's not like a sub-level. Like if you die, you do the Garth part over again as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you fight giant, like, floating instruments, like angry, floating, anthropomorphic instruments.
Right. So, like, cymbal clams that are flying for some reason, little saxophones that look like opium pipes.
Yeah, those things were bitches, man. Yeah. And then were a bitch.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm trying not to say that word anymore. And
hard. It's tough.
It's difficult to do. Those things are tough, is what I meant.
There we go.
There's a big cello monster. You know, you just shoot him, but then everything gets flipped on its head when you become Wayne. And Wayne, one, so he looks, the way he walks looks like a Titanite demon if a Titanite demon was standing fully up, like straight up. Like you kind of drag your back leg in this kind of like this way, you know, this veteran way. And then your attack is this like ninja kick.
Yeah.
Until you collect this pea and then you do a roundhouse.
Right.
And it's worthless. Like it takes so long to wind up, you have to time it perfectly. It's real garbagey.
Collect pee like in a Howard Hughes way?
Yeah, well, it's apparently so.
Okay.
You collect a little lowercase or a little capital P. Did you get the capital P?
Yes, I did. Okay. I just
wanted to make sure you got it because if you hadn't, it would be really confusing.
Yeah.
Because I think you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a weird, there's no planning to it. Like, if you're going to make a platform game, the way that it can be you know, like we talked, like the essential element of game is choice, right? So like, even though in Super Mario Brothers 1, you're just going from left to right, the choice is like, the reason why there are platforms is like, well, maybe it'll present different challenges and a different experience if I go on top of this thing and get different rewards. Like maybe I'll avoid this enemy and get this coin, or maybe I'll have to run into this enemy but get this greater reward. Yeah. There's none of that here.
Yeah.
Like, it's entirely arbitrary. Like, it looks like somebody, like a 100% random level design.
Right.
And all of it. There's no reason not to just go forward, occasionally tap the attack button, or constantly tap it if you're Garth, and that's it.
Right.
In this weird, like, giant music factory, these huge boxes are just, like, sticks.
This giant CNC music factory that has signs that say, no way, and way.
Yeah, no way, way, and big sale.
Yeah.
Like, they're having a big sale at this thing.
A big sale on Big Star Records.
Yeah. I wish they were having a big sale on Big Star Records.
I know,
Big
right?
Star's a good band. Yeah. It's real stupid. You get to the end, you get that non-related cutscene where they do the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about going to the Gaslight Bar,
right?
Which happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm. See the shitty, the shitty Beatles.
Yeah. See the shitty or lousy Beatles. You know, if you recall,
if you're watching them on TBS.
Well, it's also what they call them in the game.
Oh, yeah. No, I never got that far. I never beat the wall of records.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't beat the boss.
No, I didn't. I told you I didn't get far in this at all.
Well, I didn't get very far either. I got to the end of the second or the middle of the second level.
Uh huh.
It gets worse, dude.
Does it?
Yeah.
So Dan Savage lied.
Yeah, exactly. it gets worse. So like, you get past that wall of records, which like is an end boss, you know, I guess, for the level, and then you go to the Gaslight, and it's like, you know, so one, everyone knows that the Wayne's World NES game is known for its wonderful jumping mechanics, and that's what you do here. Is like, you, the first level with Garth is incredibly short. You have to double back to get up to a platform. You walk forward, you fight a fat guy, you jump up to your left, and then you're Wayne, and then you die because you're just jumping from platform to platform, I guess, in like the rafters of this nightclub.
Okay.
And it's really hard to stay on top of these platforms, and then you die. And there are lots of guys right on the, like, close to the edge of platforms, so if you jump onto a platform and they time their attack right, then you die.
So you're fighting humans at this point.
Tons of humans.
Okay.
Like, you're fighting humans and also, like, monsters, though. Like, you're fighting humans and then like some kind of plate or something that was falling down. I forgot to mention, though, between the levels there's a bonus level.
Oh, the donut house, right?
Yeah, the donut house, which is like this big warehouse where they put like two donuts on a shelf and they look like little just like washers, and you just pick up all the washers and they give you back health each one you get. You know, which is fine. Like, you end up like with a really robust health meter in this game, which is really strange for a licensed game, but then you die instantly from platforming.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I got, and it's not very far into the game, but it's a terrible fucking game.
Yeah, it's real bad. And what's kind of like sad about that is that there was an adventure game that was being made with the Wayne's World license that was supposed to come out for the Super NES CD-ROM. You know, like Star Fox 2. It was being developed by Argonaut, which isn't a bad studio. And yeah, like, it was going to like actually use a bunch of footage from the movie and, like, you know, actual music. Like, that song isn't from the movie.
Though, you mean the 2 second loop?
Yes.
It's in this fucking thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So goddamn awful.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, you know, the thing that upsets me most about these licensed games is just like, it doesn't take any of the spirit from the thing. And I understand they were working with a diminished vocabulary. Like, if it wasn't a platformer, it's not going to sell, you know?
Right.
But like,
it's not just that, but it's like, I mean, I don't know if platformers are the most popular type of game at this point. I think they're just the easiest to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, something, and this is out of place for a comedy podcast, but the, do yourself a favor, go on YouTube at some point and watch the Errant Signal video on video game adaptation.
Okay.
It's wonderful. And he points out like why video game adaptations suck and how like people don't get the spirit of it.
Right.
With examples, and it's like, it's really interesting because he talks about, he doesn't pick out stuff like this where it's like, even if this got the spirit of Wayne's World, it's still, you know, it's not a good game, and that's the big problem with it. But he talks about the Ghostbusters game, The 360 one?
Yeah, the 2009 one.
Yeah, which is not bad, right? But, like, the whole point is, like, Ghostbusters is a game about, like, small business.
Uh-huh.
It's a comedy about the triumph of small business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the game is at all. It's a shooter.
Right.
You know? And that's why that's so, so dumb.
Right.
You know? And it's, and then he, you know, the triumph is, or the end result is he talks about Batman.
Right.
Like the Arkham City or Arkham Asylum, because that's a really good adaptation of everything Batman's about.
Right.
It's a good game. It gets the spirit. You know, it's damn near perfect as far as adaptations go.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really astute in, like, what is wrong with this kind of shit.
Yeah. Does he just talk about, like, the one-way direction, like, from other stuff to games and not the other way around, or?
No. No, he doesn't talk at all about the movies. Like, you know, things becoming game movies or anything. That was going to be, you know, and you can cut this out.
We will have announced it, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, one of the things before we got the live show is I pitched a panel on that.
Right.
I wanted to put together, like, a presentation on, like, why it's so hard to adapt video games to movies.
Right.
Because it definitely is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for it.
If there's, you know, there's evidence that it is a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that got rejected in favor of our super cool thing.
Yeah.
That you're sick of hearing about by now, even though it's just now. Like, you could potentially be hearing this, like, first.
Yeah. Literally so, today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but there's not too much else to say about this. Like, Wayne's World is great.
Yep.
As a thing, Mike Myers is a real clueless idiot now.
Yep.
In real life, so is Dana Carvey. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. No, his stand up is atrocious.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, aren't their politics really uncomfortable?
You know what? I haven't paid too much attention to their politics.
I could be wrong about that. Like, yeah. I could be making that up. I might be just thinking about Dan Aykroyd, as per usual.
Yes, but, thinking about Crystal Skulls and vodka and Crystal Skull vodka.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is so terrible. And it's a, like, shitty area of terribleness where, like, there's just not very much to say about it.
Yeah.
You know, as a game.
Who recommended this?
I think it's Blaine. But let me double check.
Okay, cool. While you're double checking that, can I read you a topic from the GameFAQs message board about it?
Yes, please.
Yes. So NoobAssassin44, that's NoobAssassin with an underscore, posted in June of 2008, topic entitled "Anyone?" And the topic is, or the message body is, "Does anyone still play this as often as I? The best game for the NES to date." And then he says, his signature is, across a blackened sky, the shades of night descend, from Machine Head.
Is that the Bush song, Machine Head?
Yep.
Even better than the rest?
Yep.
He's got a good Machine Head.
There's one more topic that I actually intended to read. I had that open by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Attention moderator.
I like this too. I saw this.
Yeah. Attention moderator. Darknet Death. In 2011, so a lot of longevity on this board, says, could we use this little used titles message board for a social clan for CODBO for PS3? I think you mean Codblops, but
yeah, he means Codblops. He's in on the joke. Like, okay. he's saying that to be funny, I bet.
Okay.
There's only one review of this that, like,
it's
is
a 4 out of,
like,
10.
A 4 out of 10 that gives it an 8 for sound.
Just because, like, of the no way.
Probably, yeah. Like, you know, the music is so terrible. But he, you know, he explains, if you hit select, Wayne says rock on Garth. I didn't realize that. But he even recognizes that it's not very much fun. You know, like, there's no defenders of this game. And there's kind of surprisingly very few. This is the only review he's done.
Right.
Which is kind of weird. But the it's kind of surprising. Like, a lot of these bad games have defenders and have, you know, people who are into them and stuff like that. And this game has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Has an angry video game nerd video,
mm-hmm.
you know, which, you know, people are pretty into. And then that's it.
Yeah.
So
on the site that I Googled to get this, like, there was somebody who did a review that was, like, straight up, like, angry video game nerd, which was like, you know, this is the creamy crap filled center of a crap candy or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
Yeah. That's not. It's not. It's the worst thing about the angry video game nerd when he does it.
Right.
You know, and a little, you know, it's worse when you're not being original.
Yeah.
The yeah. Buh. Yeah.
Buh.
This is the kind of thing that led to THQ's downfall. Like, you could make the argument that, like, it has to do with inflated budgets and the fact that, you know, things like Saints Row underperformed. But really, this is the sin that they committed that created the justice that happened when they went under. Like, is THQ, what has THQ done that is there anything they've done that I would like?
Did you play
Tony Hawk? Like, did I see that and that? They published that?
No, that's always been Neversoft. Activision and Treyarch.
Yeah. And Neversoft.
Yeah. No, like, did you play the Red Faction games at all?
Kinda.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
No, I played the first one. I think I played the second one a little bit, and they were not very good.
Armageddon was not Armageddon. Fuck no, God, Gorilla. Armageddon was terrible. But I mean, they, like, you know, THQ mostly licensed stuff, even up through the final days, right?
Yeah. Well, do better in your next life in video game company Valhalla. And Blaine Nemier, thank you for suggesting this. Go fuck yourself. It's a terrible goddamn game. Ugh.
Yeah. No, not cool, man. if you're gonna spew into this.
Did you point to your dick?
Yeah.
You're gonna spew into this. That's gross, and it's somebody's fetish. Like, oh man, they're like Wayne's World porn, like parody porn.
Oh, no.
At the time, that has that line in it. Like some girl, like, if you're gonna spew on my tits, and then just like pulls out his dick. Yeah, it writes itself.
Oh,
gross.
God.
But thank you for suggesting it. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Do we announce what thing happens next?
No, we have not yet. This is kind of a weird little gulf. So what happens next, Gary?
Next up is Pac-Man 2.
Yes.
For the Super Nintendo.
Also Genesis.
Also Genesis. Yep.
Yeah.
By the I think he's suggested many things before, James Robinson.
Yes.
So that's what's up next week. Until then, keep watching the stars.
Why are you doing this?
Why are you doing this to us? Good night and good luck.
Praise the sun.